While you're standing, let's get your Bibles open. Matthew chapter 14. Please be seated. Thank you. Matthew chapter 14. It's a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you, ladies, for that song. Thank you, ladies, for that song. I asked the question as I begin the message this morning, is he the one that's filling our heart? And that's a powerful song. It was very well done. It's very difficult. I was in Nigeria for about 10 days, and to hear Brother Mark Holmes and his wife, and actually he wasn't singing most of the time, it was his wife and his children, but to hear them sing before I had the privilege of speaking 15 times in Nigeria, it's very difficult sometimes to hear children of missionaries singing about how good God's been to them in a very challenging country, and yet God to see how God is using them and other missionaries around the world, and then to hear our college young ladies sing that song was very, very powerful, and I think it goes along with the message. As has been stated many times, sometimes you have a message, you think this would be a great time for this message, and God says, how about this idea? And that's what he's done this morning. I believe today's message, we'll see in the Word of God, the answer to those who've had their best fall program ever and how to continue on for Christ. I believe in the message this morning that we'll see in the Word of God how to answer those who've recently had the highest day ever on their bus route to continue being faithful to God. I believe we'll see today in the Word of God the answer to those struggling to pay your school bill. You were excited about the announcements till Brother Stubblefield told you your school bill was due. And the clapping went to like this to please be seated. And I understand that, and I was already seated. But I believe today that we'll see in the Word of God the answer to those who are having a lull in your spiritual life. You've come back this after the break, and I think the most challenging time in the fall semester is between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You're just out of eating a little bit of turkey to going to celebrate sometimes with your family for Christmas, and yet it's difficult to concentrate on classes and to concentrate on your walk with God and to concentrate on things that would be spiritual in nature. I believe today we'll see the answer in the Word of God to those who struggle during sin or through sin, with sin during the break. And yet no one you believe knows about it, but God does. I believe we'll see the answer today in the Word of God. I believe today we'll see the answer in the Word of God to those who need to date and date well and be careful in your dating and be respectful and appropriate in your dating. I believe we'll see in the Word of God those who came back today and this semester and through a busy week of the tournament, you're a little discouraged today, a little bit down, a little bit depressed. Maybe you didn't get to go home for the Thanksgiving. Maybe you won't even get to go home for Christmas. And yet you need a little bit of encouragement. I think we'll see that in the Word of God today. I believe today we'll see in the Word of God the answer to those who seem to be having the time of your life and you're just thrilled to be serving God and you're thrilled to be here at Housing Harrison College and you're thrilled that you're a son or a daughter of God and you just need to continue on. If you turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14, a little slow but you still answered, Matthew chapter 14, let me give you a few verses here and I do want to be a help this morning. I believe this will help you finish this semester strong. I believe this will help you, and it's not something that you can use in the ministry. You can use it today. I always appreciate messages that I can use in the future, but I also appreciate messages like yesterday's about wisdom that I can use today. Appreciate Brother Douglas. Thank you so much, Brother Douglas, for allowing me this opportunity, and I think God smiled on Howells Anderson College when he gave us Brother Dave Douglas as our president. I believe God smiled on First Baptist Church when he gave us Pastor John Wilkerson, and I thank the Lord for those with whom I get to serve. Serving in the ministry and serving the Lord is awesome, but it's also great to serve with those with whom we get to serve. So Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to ask you to stand one more time if you would. Matthew chapter 14, now that you've gotten comfortable, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read quite a few verses this morning. We're going to read from verse 15, and there's a reason why I'm going to major on one verse, but I want to give you a little bit of the background, a little bit of the past the verse that I'm going to use. So Matthew chapter 14, look down at verse 15. We'll read down through verse 32. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and The time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. It's amazing how Jesus cared for others and the disciples didn't. The disciples said, send them away, and Jesus said, they're hungry. And aren't you glad sometimes when others don't seem to care as much as we'd like for them to, that Jesus always cares. He's there with us when someone is there or someone's not there. He's always there for us. Verse number 17, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat. That's good right there. And were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside the women and children. We really don't know how many people were here. Could be anywhere from 15 to 25,000 people. Could have been more. We don't know. But at least 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I'm going to read one verse again, and then I'll pray and have you be seated. Look down at verse number 23 one more time, and that's the verse that we're going to major on this morning. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. With the Lord's help this morning, I'm going to ask him to get me out of the way, that he would speak through me. I'm going to ask him to walk the aisles this morning. I'm going to ask you to draw a circle around yourself. And I'm going to ask us all to ask the Lord, will we take time for what really matters? Will we take time for what really matters? Father, I need you this morning. I know how desperate I am in need of your help today. And I know how much I've spent in preparation and organization, but it's all vain unless your spirit comes down. I'd ask that you'd speak to each student today. I'd ask that you'd use me. I just want to be a vessel that you can speak through. Help me to move out of the way, and I'd ask you to move in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three words from this verse here. I'm not really sure why the Holy Spirit led this message on my heart, except that I know how easy it is. You're so busy in classes. You're so busy on bus routes. You're so busy in tournament. You're so busy practicing for specials. And yet I ask myself the question, and I ask you the question this morning. How is our time with Him? How is my prayer life? Been very convicted recently and over the break about my own prayer life and my own walk with God. And we had a great break, had a good time with family, and looking forward as well to Christmas break. But I asked myself the question, and I ask you the question. We spend time for a lot of things, and even over the break, we spent time, and we probably had a good meal with family and friends, and maybe even watched a game of football or two, and good to see some of the upsets over the break. But I asked myself the question, will I take time? And I ask you to ask yourself the question, will we take time for what truly matters? Amazing story here. Jesus had just performed one of the greatest miracles that we find in Scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. We see the disciples, as I mentioned earlier, who didn't care whether the people ate before sending them away. Jesus cared. When it looked hopeless with just a sack lunch, and I can't imagine that. I've got a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old, and then a 16-year-old daughter, and I can't imagine any of them giving their lunch to anybody else. But yet this young lad did, as stated in another passage. When it looked hopeless, Jesus realized that hope. When others had forgotten to speak to their Heavenly Father, Jesus spoke to God for help as our example. But I'm going to give you three words that jump out to me, and they've never jumped out until this week. I had other ideas that I thought the Holy Spirit would allow me to give today, and yet He brought me to this verse, and there are three words that all start with A. First word here is the word away. I know it may not seem like an important word in the verse, but if you look back with me, look at verse number 23, and when He had sent the multitudes, would you read it with me? When verse number 23, and when He had sent the multitudes away. First word here, away. I know there are many meanings and many definitions and many practical applications for the word here, away, but this word literally means that they were freed fully, they were relieved, they were released, they were dismissed. Can also mean to depart or to let go or to loose or to put or send away or to set at liberty. Jesus Christ sent the multitudes away, but I'm going to make it very practical in the number one in our prayer life and in our time with God. The first thing I think we have to do is we've got to decide we need to send our worldly thoughts away. I think sometimes we go to God like everything's okay. Just like sometimes my children, as they're great kids. I believe God's given me a wonderful wife, and she does a great job with our children, and I do all I can not to ruin what she's doing and trying to help them and lead them and direct them in the way they should go. Sometimes they've disobeyed, and they just act like everything's okay, and I'll ask them, we need to talk about this, and we need to go over this, and we need to read some scripture, and we need to pray. And I ask you the question, how's your thoughts? How's your mind this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Would you turn there, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. I believe before we spend time with God and try to get to a place where we can spend time with Him and Him alone and spend time with Him apart from everyone else, first of all, I believe we've got to send some of our thoughts away, because you know as well as I do, it's hard to live in this sin-sick world, and it's hard to live with the flesh sometimes, but you and I have to send the thoughts away. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and I'm using this in a very practical sense, I know He sent the multitudes away, but in my own prayer time, I've got to make sure that first of all, I send away any thoughts here. And so we see here, casting down imaginations. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I ask you the question this morning, and I ask me the question, have we cast down imaginations? I ask you the question, what did you see over the break that you need to cast down? I ask us the question, what did we listen to over the break that we've got to cast down? I've got to ask myself the question, what are we planning or trying to plan for the Christmas break, that maybe those thoughts just need to be put away. Maybe those thoughts just need to be cast down. Let me ask you the question, are we holy this morning? Pastor mentions often, no purity, no power. I'll be very honest with you this morning, I'd be a fool to preach without being pure this morning. I'd be a fool to stand behind this pulpit and to have secret sins, and I know we all have them on occasion, but I've done all that I can to say, Lord, I just want to be used by You this morning, because I'm afraid most of the time we have time for everyone else except for Him. We have time for bus kits, and I think we should. We have time for Sunday school classes, and I think we should. We have time for each other. We have time for dating. I said we have time for dating. I said we have time for dating. And we celebrate our 18th anniversary today, and I'll have some time with my wife out at eating a meal this afternoon. And you ought to have time for dating while you're in college. I'm glad I met her here at Hiles Anderson College. When we have our mind concentrated on the flesh and worldly things, our prayer time won't be what it should be. Let me encourage you, if there are some things that you've done recently or there are things that you've done over the Thanksgiving break that you're not thrilled about and you're not happy about, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He just wants us to get on the same page with Him. And if you're living clean and pure and decent right now, I think one of the things that I had to do while I was in college, and I'm so thankful that when I came to Hiles Anderson College, it didn't ruin my prayer time, it helped my prayer time. I decided as a teenager I wanted to spend time with God, and I wasn't real good at it, but every single day I spent time in His Word, and I spent time in prayer. But then when I came and I lived on Rice for a little while, I lived on Colston for a little while, and as I lived here in college, I'm so thankful that through the chapel and through the teaching and through the preaching and through the classes and through everything, through friends, that my walk was with God got better while I was in college. I felt closer to God while I was in college. I learned how to pray better and more time while I was in college. And that's something you got to decide right now. I think often of the song, "Take Time to Be Holy." Some of the best time you'll take. And I'm all for spending time on social media if it's productive and if it's encouraging and if it's motivating and if it's talking about souls being saved or it's talking about the tournament that we're having right now or it's talking about something that would please the Lord. But I ask you the question, number one, have we put the thoughts away? So number one, the word is, the first word is away. Number two, the second word is apart. The second word is apart. I've heard some people say you'll either come apart or you'll come apart. And you have to decide right now, I've got to find the time that's necessary. And I know a college schedule is busy and you're hardworking and you're fully into the ministry and you're into dating and you're into classes and all that comes along with it. But I ask you, are you taking time to be apart? This word literally means to separate or to have something that's private, to separate at a distance, or it's a state of separation. Let me encourage you. We need to get apart from good activities to get to the best activity. And I'm all for activity, and I'm all for playing games, and I'm all for playing basketball, and I'm all for all that we do, but I ask you the question, have we kept the main thing? And I'm not speaking of soul winning, I'm speaking of prayer. I'd love to speak about soul winning, but there's no reason or there's no way we'll be a good soul winner unless we are a prayer. George Mueller said, there are a few people more passionately fond of traveling and seeing new places than myself, but now, by the grace of God, I've seen the beauty in the Lord Jesus. I've lost my taste for those things. Look with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Don't apologize this morning that I don't have a cute story or that I don't have something that would attract your attention other than the Word of God. I believe the Word of God should attract our attention. And I'm all for, if there's a time for humor, I think there's a place and time for it. But if there's a time to realize that we need to get back to God, I think today's the time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It goes through all the different times here. And then verse number 11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Stop reading there. I remember Brother Daryl Moore, who was one of my mentors in college and very dear friend of mine, he made the statement, it's not that we have a shortage of time, we have a shortage of purpose. Because the Bible here says that there's a time to every purpose. And so when we say, I don't have time for that, we've literally taken the time of something that we needed to do, such as walking with God, and we've spent it doing something that may not matter as much as walking with God. So number one, the first word is the word away. Number two, the second word is the word apart. We need to separate ourselves from good things to spend time with God in prayer. Let me state this. Whatever we do in private is who we really are. I'll state that again. Whatever we do in private is who we really are. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As I began to prepare this message, I said, Lord, you know that my prayer time is not what it should be. And you know that my prayer life is not what it should be. And the Holy Spirit said, that's why I'm having you preach this. So I'm not putting myself or hailing myself as someone that has arrived here. I feel like I'm still in kindergarten. I'm still learning. I'm still achieving. I'm still moving forward. And you'll never feel in this life. I think that when I graduated from college, it was a great feeling that I'd finished, that I was then starting my ministry away from college. But I learned at that point how desperately I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. The third word is the word alone. So we have the first word. The first word is the word away. The second word is the word apart. We need to literally separate ourselves from some good things, things that aren't sin, but things that we need to separate from so that we can spend time with God. And then thirdly, the word is alone. The word alone is a very scary word for a lot of people. That's why everyone turns on the radio when they get in their vehicle. And that's why in many homes today, you'll see the TV from the time they get into the house in the evening until the time they go to sleep. They got to have something on, some type of noise, some part of the world, something, because people have a hard time being alone. But what you need and what I need is time alone with our Savior. We must find a place to be alone with our Father. And our Father wants to do much more than what we can do. And I believe I read the illustration in a book, and I believe Brother Howes may have given the illustration when I was in college. I don't remember, but I think it may have been him. I remember a story, a very simple story, about a child that was in a candy store, and the person at the candy store said, "Why don't you just stick your hand in the jar? You can take all you want." And the boy just looked at him, a big smile on his face, but he wasn't taking any candy. His mother, a little bit frustrated, said, "Go ahead, stick your hand in there. Go ahead, grab some candy." And the young boy just stood there, a big smile on his face, licking his lips, wanting some candy, but didn't put his hand in there. And the third time, the man said, "Just take some candy. You can have as much candy as you want. Just take a handful of candy." And then finally, frustrated, the owner of the store grabbed a handful of candy and stuck it in the young boy's pocket. The mom, flustered, a little bit frustrated with her son, that wouldn't listen to this man who was trying to be generous with this young boy. She took him outside and began to chew him out. And she said, "Why didn't you take candy?" And he made a simple statement: "That man's hand's bigger than my hands." Very simple illustration, but I ask you the question: isn't God's hands bigger than your hands? Can God do some things for you? I remember when our daughter, who's now 16, was 2 years old. I remember we were on deputation at the time, and we went into a store, and I don't know why they put candy at the end of every aisle. You'll realize that a little bit more maybe when you become a parent, and then maybe again as a grandparent. But I don't know why they put it all there. And I remember we were at the end of the aisle, and my daughter, who was 2, said, "Daddy, you're the strongest man in the entire world." And at that time, I was agreeing with her, and I said, "Yeah, I appreciate that, sweetheart. I love you." And she continued on, and she said, "Dad, you're the greatest dad in all the world." And she kept going on and on and on. And then she looked at me, and she said, "And Dad, I like gum." And then as a dad, how many boxes do you want to get, sweetheart? And I asked myself the question: when was the last time we buttered God up in prayer? When was the last time? I loved what we did this morning, Brother Douglas, in praising the Lord, because He deserves praise. But let it not happen just in chapel. Let it happen on your own. Let it happen out beside the gym. Let it happen around the lake. Let it happen when you're around other people. I was very convicted. I think what spurred on this message was when I heard Brother Tom Williams speak at our praise, prayer, and thanksgiving service on a Tuesday night. I was very humbled. I was very convicted. And to be very honest, I was ready for it to be over. Because one of those messages that I sat there and I was convicted with, the first point, I thought, well, the other two got to be okay, because I've already been convicted at the first point. And then he gave the second point, I was convicted there too, and he gave the third point, I said, let's just go ahead and have revival right now. As I hear prayer sermons on prayer, I'm always convicted by them. I believe that you got to have a time of prayer. And let me, one reason why we don't pray like we should pray is we don't have a time to pray. Number two, what sometimes we don't have, and we don't have a regular place to pray. I believe we've got to make prayer a priority. I believe we've got to continue in prayer. I think sometimes we get frustrated because you young men ask a young lady out and she says no, and then you say, "I'm done with dating." Well, you can't just be done with dating. Go ask somebody else out, or pray a little bit more, and maybe fast a little bit more, and not just between breakfast and lunch, but fast a little bit more, and decide, "I'm going to ask someone else out," and allow God to work in that situation. I think of an aunt who was, we prayed for 17 years until she finally trusted Christ as Savior. I ask you the question, are you willing to pray that long? Are you willing to pray? As pastor says, are you willing to pray the price? I think about as we went to Tanzania this summer on a mission trip, and some of the college students went and some church members went, and we went to a stadium that could easily seat over 10,000 people. And I remember how vacant the stadium was when we practiced our song, and I remember how vacant it was as we tried to pass out flyers. And then I remember seeing over 10,000 people fill that stadium. And I remember as we collected the entire second half of the ball game, that soccer game where we had some of the main soccer teams in Tanzania, I remember collecting cards for the entire second half of people that wanted to trust Christ as Savior. And they filled out their information, and they checked decision slips that they trusted Christ. And at the end of the day, 1,600 people trusted Christ as Savior. I don't think it was just because of the planning of a missionary by the name of Brother Jerry Wyatt. I believe it was because people were praying. And I believe all successes in the Christian life are because of prayer. I think of as recent as this past week when I was quite ill, and Brother Penn stopped by and said, "Just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Can I pray for you right now?" I thank the Lord for good Christian friends that God gives to us. will we take time to do what really matters? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. He's known for that. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I asked myself the question as I prepared the message, what would people say about me if they had one statement? For Enoch, was he walked with God? For Noah, was he walked with God? But if somebody made a statement about you or me, would it even come close that we walk with God? Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Proverbs 8 verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. James 4 and verse 2, the end part says, ye have not because ye ask not. James 5, 16, that I've heard Brother Douglas speak on multiple times, is confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My question is, number one, are we a righteous man? Number two, are we praying effectually? Number three, are we praying fervently? Because God does answer prayer. I'm just going to read some what we can pray for, and then I want to give us some quotes that I think will help us as we wrap up the message. But these are some things we can pray for. First of all, God's power in our life. You know, you need God's power in your life. I was in the emergency room about a week and a half ago, and the couple of doctors that I talked with thought I might have malaria, and it's always an encouragement to bring something back from Africa that you didn't want to bring back. And so it wasn't malaria. I was quite ill, but as I laid there and as my wife sat beside me, as they took out about 15 vials of blood, and I thought, I've only got a little bit left. Would you let me keep some of it? As they ran tests and did other things, and my wife was sitting there, and a man walked up to me, and he just looked at me, and he said, you must be a Christian. I wasn't wearing a Howells Anderson College shirt. I wasn't wearing a First Baptist Church jacket. I wasn't even wearing a tie. I know, don't tell anyone. Yeah, at the emergency room. Just thought I'd throw that in there. He looked at me. He said, you must be a Christian. I said, how do you know that, sir? He said, you just seem like a Christian. He was from a church, and he was sitting with someone that for 2 hours complained about how bad he was feeling. And I understand it's an emergency room, but I thought, I'm glad that someone has stopped and said, are you a Christian? I got to talk with him about our church, and he talked with me about his church. But we can pray for God's power in our life. Number two, we can pray for God's presence to go with us. Oh, I need the presence of God. Normally in a message, I may run a little bit more. Or, of course, I can't do that these days, just kind of an inside joke there, but we need, number two, God's presence to go with us. Number three, we need God's protection for our family. We need God's protection. Number four, we can pray for our pastor and his family. May I encourage you, as Brother Douglas did at the beginning of chapel today, would you decide, I'm going to pray for Pastor Wilkerson as he preaches in chapel tomorrow. God asks us to pray for laborers, and I beg God for laborers. This morning, as we had the privilege of serving, I was just amazed at seeing a dining hall full of prospective students at the college. I said, Lord, would you touch hearts as I help serve this morning? We ought to pray for government officials. We ought to pray for the sick. We ought to pray for the wayward. We ought to pray for unsaved loved ones to get saved. We ought to pray for more laborers. We ought to pray for your bus kids and your bus route. You ought to pray for your future mate. Amen. And we ought to pray for missionaries. The Bible says, Jeremiah, it got quiet on that one. Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If God answered the prayer of Hezekiah for more years, God granted him his request, don't you think God would answer you? If God answered the prayer of Hannah for a child and God granted that request, don't you think that God would answer your prayer? If God answered the prayer of Brother House for this property, don't you think that God would answer you? If God answered the prayer of our church for a pastor like Pastor Wilkerson, don't you believe that God would answer you? I'm going to read a few quotes here. Some of these are from E.M. Bounds. Some of these are from Hudson Taylor. I want you to listen. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made a burden. While many churches are looking for better methods, God is looking for praying men. A prepared heart is much better than a prepared sermon. A prepared heart will make a prepared sermon. Nothing is well done without prayer for the simple reason that it leaves God out of the account. Prayer is the outstretched arms of a child for the Father's help. All true revivals have been born in prayer. Not to spend time with God is not to do much for God. Never give up praying until the answer comes. Our Heavenly Father never takes anything from His children unless He means to give them something better. We've heard of many people who trusted God too little, but have you ever heard of anyone who trusted God too much? Let me give you this last one, then I'll ask you a few questions. Dream a dream so big that unless God intervenes, you'll fail. Dream a dream so big that unless God intervenes, it will fail. We work hard on bus routes, but do we pray? We study hard for classes, but do we pray? We care about others, but do we pray? We win co-workers to Christ and bring them to church, but do we pray? We so much want to do something for God, but I ask you the question, do we spend time with Him? Lord, I need you this morning. Father, you know how desperately I needed this message this morning. And I don't know if anybody else needed it, but I did, Father.